This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black. First one of the year. We haven't done one of these in a while. The reason being because we wanted a break from talking about business. You probably wanted a break from thinking about your business, but now is the time to ramp back up.
Your business wanted a break from you talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. Business is like, leave me alone, bro. Stop thinking about me. But today we wanted to give you guys an update on Locker Room, and within the update of Locker Room, share some insights which you can probably take away and use in your own business. But before we jump into the episode, there is a really cool sign behind us right now. Actually, one of the dopest signs, if not the dopest sign we've ever had in the studio. It's by a company called Neon Icons. You should go follow them on Instagram. If you decide that you want to put one of these amazing neon signs in your bedroom or in your gym, which we would recommend, we're going to put one in Locker Room as well. You can get a 15% discount.
That would be sick in your bedroom.
It would, yeah. As like a like a mood light. So you can go free shipping worldwide. So you can ship it anywhere in the world. Our code is MMP15, so MMP15, and that'll get you 15% off. So check it out. Neon Icons is the company. And yeah, they make all custom stuff. So this dope My Muscle Project neon sign behind us, no complaints so far. It's pretty cool. I mean, it obviously looks amazing. It's easy to set up. Sticks on the wall. No complaints.
It's bright. Cool.
It's bright.
What else do you want? It's a light. Remote,
dims. Yeah, it's sick. So if you want a neon light, this is the company we've been using. And I guess it's kind of a weird item, right? Sometimes, like, where do I get a neon sign? But I say neon signs everywhere. This is where you get a neon sign, a Neon Icons. All right, cool. So also supporting the show today, we have AFS Brokers. If you guys are looking to basically sell or buy a gym, AFS Brokers is your best choice. They're going to provide you with essentially anything, any tool that you need in valuing your gym, which is obviously a really critical part of getting the money that you deserve and making sure the negotiation goes smoothly. And sometimes it's a bit of an awkward emotional time. And so it's helpful to have someone on your side brokering the deal, making sure that you get what you want, because in the heat of a negotiation, things can go pretty badly.
I mean, also just someone that's, you know, done 100 gym, more than 100, hundreds of gym sales.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, don't forget to look after this.
Yeah.
Don't forget to look after this. This is probably your first one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So afsbrokers.com, you guys can check out if you're looking to buy or sell gyms. And then finally, guys, we didn't get to where we were today without the help, especially with Locker Room, without the guidance and help of the coaching team at NPE Fitness. So NPE Fitness, we've used them for over 3 years now, or coming up to 3 years, and that's with Sean Greeley and his team. We are part of a group with a bunch of Australian Asia Pacific gym owners, just because the time zones work out that way. And we're hoping to, you know, in this year, really make some strong leaps in progress. And that group itself, everyone that's in that group, all 10, 15 of us, we all had better businesses coming out at the end of 2020, which is crazy.
Everyone
right?
stepped up. And, you know, even like we have Huss in our group now. He applied for MPE through the podcast.
Yeah.
And he was in like the lower down, and he's like moved up.
Yeah.
Into the higher of Mara, because he's like nearly doubled his business size.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just what happens. If you're probably in the same position you were last year, if you're in that same position, it's because you don't really invest in yourself.
Yeah. And I think if you're at the point now where you can't bring yourself to make an investment in coaching to get better at business, you probably shouldn't be in business. Anyone that is been successful in business, that's made a lot of money, that's grown an amazing company, will tell you they've invested in business coaching. They've invested in some kind of mentoring, some kind of business consulting. They've brought on board senior advisors. That's what a board of directors is for. It helps to guide the company as you consult on major decisions. But just in our small gym world, this is the consulting firm. This is the coaching firm that's number one, that's going to help you guys. So if you're at that point, starting 2021, and you feel like you still can't bring yourself to invest in something like this, honestly, get the fuck out of business. Mm. If you can't invest in this stuff, you're going to go nowhere, okay? You're only going to continue to let your family down. You're better off as an employee. You're better off with a job. But if you are the person that's like, you know what? I know if I invest in myself, if I bank on myself, if I do the work, if I put the money in, I will make progress. This is the shit you need to be investing in. So npmfitness.com, we've always got a link in the description where you can check that out. Okay. Locker Room updates. I wanted to start with probably some of the most exciting stuff, the thing that really grows the business, which is sales. Now, obviously, Locker Room is a very, very significant investment for people compared to other investments financially. I won't disclose the pricing on here, but let's just say it's many multiples higher than anything anyone's paid for a long time for a gym. And what that means is what's been different for you and me, Ralph, especially because the format of how we're taking these payments is we're taking it up front. It's quite a large amount of money. the process, the sales cycle, which is, I guess, first contact to payment, is a lot longer than what we're used to. When someone only has to think about investing $60 a week, $50 a week, $100 a week, $200 a week, it's not something they have to give too much thought over. Yeah, they've obviously built up to the point before they contact you. They're kind of getting themselves over the line. But the actual process to take many multiples more, quite a large transaction, is it's a slower process, something that we have to exercise more patience with. And if you've been in bigger business before and bigger companies and you've worked in the sales role, then you know that, you know, when a sales cycle, when the value of a client is, say, millions of dollars a year, that sales cycle might go for a year before they make that decision. Because it's such a big decision, it's such a large amount of money, they want to make sure where they place their investment. Say a company's investing with another company, say it's worth $1 million a month. That sales cycle is going to last somewhere between 6 to 12 months, because when you're investing that kind of money, you want to make sure that you're not committing for just a year, you're probably committing for something like 5 years. Mm. So when people are investing with us at Locker Room, in their mind, they're like, okay, I'm going to make this investment today, but I know this is a place I want to be at for the rest of my life, because there's only one of these places. You know, you invest in an F45, you're like, oh, let's see how it goes. In 2 weeks, if it's no good, I'll go somewhere else. You're not that committed to it. With this, even though they're only paying for 6 to 12 months, in their mind, they're joining an exclusive club that they want to be in for the rest of their life or for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing you can think about, which is like, if you're running a gym, it's like, well, if I'm maybe selling like, say, an online program, which is just like, you know, a lot cheaper and it's like a lower touch thing, I could probably just have a sign up form on my website.
Yeah.
And it's running from there. And, you know, right now I'm maybe selling like a $70 to $60 a week gym membership, and it's like pretty high touch. I'm going to see you in the gym, but, you know, you're just one in a group. I'm not going to do anything individual for you. It's like, I probably need to sit down with that person. Maybe if I'm just giving them a call now, maybe I could add in the sit down, make it like a longer sales cycle, right? Phone call, then the sit down. If you're like, man, I want to sell something even bigger this year, maybe it's like personal training in the packages or just like more stuff, right? Higher price because you're delivering more. You're like, man, maybe I need to extend this sales cycle somehow. You know, maybe I have like some sort of paid assessment as part of the sales cycle.
Yeah.
Or I take them out for coffee.
Yeah.
Instead of just like standing at the door of the gym.
You know? Yeah.
Something a bit longer in there as well. And yeah, I just think naturally as the money goes up, you know, if you try and sell a huge fitness package, 6 months and all this stuff, and it's just sign up form on your website, like no one's going to click on it.
No, yeah. I mean,
you sign up and like just buy something for 10 grand, clicking on a website or like a car, whatever, how much a car costs?
Yeah.
You'd go to the car shop.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Once you're about to hand over a lot of money, the expectation is there's going to be a form of buttering up process, a trust building exercise, which in our case right now looks like the form of, I'm inviting these clients for more workouts. I'm spending more time with them. I'm sending them more messages. I'm potentially getting gifts for them. I'm, you know, giving them some different insights. And so the process before we ever get to sale is a lot of time invested on my end, building the trust and the relationship with these foundational clients. And it's, you know, the sales cycle is long and we're exercising patience, but the process is just a new one. It's just one of investing trust and investing time. If someone comes to your gym and you know they're going to spend $60 a week, it's not worth your time to then take them out for coffee, to then say, don't worry about pain today, but let's do some workouts, you know, over the next few months. You know, I'm going to invite you here. Let's go for a run together. Let's sit down. Let me show you some supplements. Here, let me send you some videos. That's not worth it for $60 a week. But for the price we're charging at Locker Room and what these people are worth, I guess, going forward in terms of their network and their value, it's worth every single minute. And so I think that's just been an interesting process that we've gone through, which so many people are used to, because so many people are part of big corporate and big business where this is just a long sales cycle is a normal process where we take the clients out for lunches, we take them out for dinners, we send them gifts, you know, we send them lots of emails, lots of follow-up. This is our, I guess, the fitness version of the long sales cycle. So it's been a really fun, really interesting process. And it's really rewarding at the end when someone's committed, because when they're committed now, they're all in.
Mm.
They're like, yeah, yeah. Like, no hesitation. Like, I've been thinking about this a lot. It's a lot of money. I'm in.
Yeah.
It's a fun process.
No, it's fascinating. I think we've probably also extended our sales cycle longer to build more trust because we don't have a gym.
Mm.
So because there's no gym in there, I think, you know, we have to extend it longer because, you know...
And they're the first members.
No matter if they come to your gym, everybody has got the money in their account usually to sign up to your gym. It's more like, hey, do I trust that, you know, you're going to deliver the results and it's going to be good, like exactly like you say, right? It's like you're building the trust with them. Everybody trusts Apple, so you just pretty much buy it straight away. So building trust, because we don't have a gym, we can't even train people, I think we're having to spend longer to build that trust with them. Whereas maybe when they walk into your gym and it's like, you got all the testimonials on the wall. I've been in business 9 years. Here's my 1,000. Here's my 100 happy members inside there. Maybe you could shorten your sales cycle.
Yeah.
So I think some, you know, regular gyms out there, maybe the sales cycle is too long. Come for a 3-week trial.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you don't need a 3-week trial. If your gym is great, you got hundreds and hundreds of happy clients, testimonials, 5-star Google reviews. You know, for us at Creature, we often shortened our sales cycle.
Yeah.
No, you decide today.
Yeah.
You know, because you're in, you're out. You know, we want go-getters. Let's do this thing or not.
Yeah. And that's one of the perks of also having an existing membership base and having sales is you're not desperate for the sale. And so in a way that's good, you can take your time and you can be a bit more cutthroat in the process, which has been enjoyable. One thing that's been interesting as well, obviously, because Locker Room is such a unique offering, is we've actually had some inbound leads. So obviously, we've reached out a lot to our existing network, and it's been the process, like Raph said, of building this and building the trust over a long period of time. But because we have this, now we're starting to market externally, we're getting inbound leads, which is obviously people inquiring about the gym. It's been an interesting phone call, because usually the phone calls that we have, people know a lot about us, there's a lot of marketing content out there, but now I'm really heavily qualifying someone before. The qualifying process for Creature is strict, but it's not that strict. For Locker Room, it's very strict. In fact, one of the questions I've been asking people is, what do you do for work? Explain your position. What is your role in the company? Or what does your business do? And if it doesn't fit industry and business leader, unfortunately, it's just not going to be a good fit. It's not going to work, because the value of the gym is also the value of the network. So if I bring people into the network and I've promised them industry and business leaders, and they see a bunch of, you know, non-business leaders around them, the value for the gym's not going to be there. So even though they have the money, and it'd be nice to take the money in the early stages, I know ultimately it's not going to serve the clients that we want, because they want to be surrounded by people like them. And if it's not people like them, it's not the promise.
No, it's like having a women's only gym and just signing up a guy. Ah, oh, fuck.
But I need the money.
You know what? He was keen. I reckon we'll be able to help him. Dude, you promised everyone a women's only gym.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good point. That's exactly what it's like. So, yeah, as tempting as it is, because obviously, you know, it's hard and it's exclusive and take a lot, it's just not worth it. Especially with these foundational members when you're making that sort of promise to them.
No, you know, it's like in some gyms, I reckon, like that kind of funny member that you've got, like maybe the kid that you sign up that's 10 or the really older person, sometimes like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get yourself in this situation where you have to spend so much more time. They look out of place in the gym, that if you just keep going for the right people, you get more of the right people.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you can't see it right then. So that's why the temptation is always to pull the trigger in the short term. But in the long term, it always serves itself. Okay. So moving on from sales, one of the other things that has been pretty useful as a tool, and I think this is maybe just something you want to think about more broadly when it comes to social media, is that because our client is on LinkedIn, you know, this industry and business leader, founders, directors, executives, partners, these are people that spend, this is their social media, which is LinkedIn. And so reaching out through them, the purpose on LinkedIn is to do business. And so when I'm connecting with them, they're very open to hearing what I have to say, which is obviously very different to someone like, you know, that's on Instagram. If you're hitting someone up on Instagram to sell them a gym membership, it's not really the etiquette that goes on Instagram. So if you have an online training program that you want to subscribe to, like our project programs, Instagram's a great place to sell it. Lots of people buy programs all the time.
They want to hear about programs.
Exactly.
I'm often looking, I'm bored with my training, I'll go on Instagram.
Exactly.
Maybe if you say, I'm bored with my job, or I'm looking for something like a big purchase for my company, I might go on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And so I really think that you need to identify, the lessons I'm getting from this is you really need to identify what you think is the strongest social media for your business and double down on it. For some people, it might be Google Ads, right? I know Google's not really social media, but in terms of digital advertising you can pay for, Google gets a huge return. If you're tracking where people are coming from, it may be worth spending all your marketing dollars in Google AdWords, where you get a big return. It might be spending it all on YouTube. It might be spending it all on email marketing. Whatever it might be, you need to, I think, identify that. And I think this year is the year to really double down on doing that, because the efforts I'm putting in, the hours I'm investing in LinkedIn, and the content I'm putting on LinkedIn is getting me the best return right now.
Yeah, and you can just go on and check out our profiles to see the content. But I think you got to put yourself into the client's shoes. So probably for us, Creature, you know, probably the best people we often get besides referrals, people that are looking for someone to train. Mm-hmm. They're looking, and then say maybe Google Ads is great because they're typing in Google, they're looking for gyms, right? Mm-hmm. And then you come up and we might be a really good fit for them. Whereas I think for Locker Room, because it's a new gym, it's going to be probably too slow.
Mm.
You know, people aren't really looking for a gym like ours because there's not really a gym out there like ours. so they wouldn't be looking for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, actually like trying to get in front of people's faces, go, oh, you know, I wasn't even planning on going to a gym, or I'll think about it maybe at some point, but this is something I'd love to hear about. Definitely can happen. So, you got to put yourself in the shoes of the people that you're after, and then you can think about, okay, where are they spending their time, and is it going to work on that platform?
And what if they're not on social media? What if they're not on any sort of digital, which is pretty rare, but some industry and business leaders are too busy for that stuff. Well, maybe I can access them through their assistant.
Yeah.
Maybe I can access them through their office mail.
Everybody talks, right? Unless they're like a Buddhist monk in a cave, you can still get a referral.
Exactly. Exactly. So maybe it's worth investing all your time in the coolest business card ever and giving it to someone and say, give this to your boss or give this to one of your partners or directors, you know? So just thinking about it like that, being more creative, not just like, all right, we just have to have a sick Instagram. That's what most people think these days. It's so narrow-minded. Think about it like you said.
And tough and saturated because so many people do it.
So saturated. So,
you know, having the best gym Instagram account, it's tough.
Yeah.
Because there's some really good ones.
But LinkedIn feels empty. There's no one out there on fitness doing what we're doing. So it feels like a space we can really run wild in and, you know, make a mark.
We're not looking for fitness experts to join our gym.
No.
So I get all the fitness people are on Instagram, but we're not after them.
No.
So if you're not after them, then might not be the best place for you.
Exactly. So next thing is I thought I'd give you guys some construction updates with how we're going so far. So the date today is January 13th, and we have basically began stage four build. Stage four build is basically the final build. Stage one was like demolition. Stage two was site prep. Stage three was... maybe we're in stage three build. We're calling it stage four. I'm not sure why, but stage three build might have been something else, but... final part of the build. I think we restarted it in, I want to say, was it December we restarted December. It? Start of December, we restarted the build. So we've been at it for just over 5 weeks now. And I'd say we're on track for our opening date, which I wanted to be February, 1st of Feb. So basically got 2.5 weeks to get it done. All the trades say that's realistic and that's possible. So we've put in the first layer of paint. Basically put up all the gyprocking, all the false walls. We've pretty much done the bathrooms. We've laid the electrical. What I didn't realize, and a lesson for anyone that's setting up a gym in the future, is your electrical work, your lighting, is one of the things you want to spend the most time on. So placement of your speakers, available GPOs, which is just general power outlet. I think that's what it stands for. Hand dryers in the bathroom, lights in the bathroom, what type of mirrors you want in the bathroom, and if you want them to be powered or not powered. Will you have hair dryers? You know, will you have sensors? Will you have switches? How you want different lighting. So we've got, because we know we're going to be doing some beautiful marketing at the gym, I've had different lighting setups. So once I chose the lights and I chose the look of the lights and where I wanted the lights, I also wanted different setups on different switches. So if I wanted natural light plus feature light, it would be this switch. If I wanted full high beam lights but no feature lights, it's this switch. If I wanted all the lights off and only boxing ring lights or whatever, it'd be this switch. So thinking about those setups and spending a bit more time and investing more time in that really pays dividends, because the electrical works kind of, once it's done, it's really expensive to like redo it or undo it. They got to pull up a lot of stuff. So get the electrical work right fast, sit down, spend time with an electrician, which I did, and drawing over the maps and the positions and saying what you want and where you want it. It's really critical, and getting a good electrician also critical, because if they don't get that stuff right, if you start getting electrical issues, you're gonna face a lot of problems. The last thing you want is like cheap lights and lights breaking and that sort of stuff. And so
yeah, it's a cool idea. I would say, you know, I guess now think about it, even if you already had an existing gym, if you just had a member that's an electrician, or you know a good electrician, you could like fix up a lot of stuff for your gym, and the placement of the speakers, placement of the lights.
Yeah.
That actually can make a pretty big difference to the feel of the gym.
Lighting is huge. Yeah. Lighting is so big. And that's why we chose the location we chose, because of the lighting.
Yeah. And you might not be able to redo the whole thing, but there's probably some adjustments you could make.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So don't underestimate the power of lights, and don't underestimate as well like where you want to place your speakers and your electrical and your mirrors, and how you want the whole thing to flow together. So that takes a lot of time and envisioning and sitting in the space and thinking about how you want it, but you get it right. And it's one of those things people walk in, they go, wow, there's something different about this place. I don't know what it is, but it's the, what do they call it? The feng shui, feel. Yeah. It's the feel that you can't really articulate. It's just like, wow, this feels awesome. And those are the special things that you put together. So that's really the construction update. Final thing I thought I'd, update you guys on for locker room, for locker room this week is sort of what we put aside is what we're calling the priorities. Now, this is something I wish I had probably established a little bit earlier, but it's coming in now, I think, at the right time. And that's really establishing what locker room's business priorities will be. And this is something we shared with the team earlier this week. And essentially, we just run every decision, every day-to-day decision, whatever your role is within the company, through these priorities and just think, okay, is what I'm doing now, whether I go left or right on this decision, is it serving one of these priorities? And if it's not, it's not a decision you want to make. So go left instead of right, or whatever the decision might be. So number one is culture. We're here to create a crew of the most driven, energized, and ambitious community of health-focused leaders in the history of Australian gyms. It's less about the space and it's more about the people there. That's what we're trying to do. Because at some point, we might need to upgrade the space. We might need to move the space. The space is less important than the actual people and the network there. So making sure that we're building culture. And if you know anything about good business, you'll know that culture is everything. Having a team that loves to be there, having clients that love to be there, having a place that people talk about. I mean, what All Blacks, it's all about culture there, right? All the greatest sporting teams in the history of the world, they spend time building their culture. They write whole books on culture. So for us, culture is everything. Is what decision I'm making, is this money that I'm spending, is it going to help build the culture? Yes or no? Second thing as a priority is innovation and tech. I think what we're doing, just the business in general, is innovating for our industry in Australia. Tech, obviously, tech and innovation go hand in hand. That's why we're putting the whip on everyone in there. That's why we're using apps like TrueCoach and Modify to smooth out the process. We're using screens and things to make the user experience better. And we're adding a level of personalization and individualization that a lot of gyms aren't doing, but in a way that's not overwhelming. You know, in a way that's not like, I'm going to weigh every piece of protein for you and I'm going to, you know, come in, I'm going to measure every step that you do. No, innovation and tech in a way that feels smooth and seamless and it feels useful, not wasteful. We're saying using technology and personalization beyond what any other gym service offers. So if there's a thing to invest in tech or in something that offers more personalization, we're going to spend the money on it. We're going to spend the time on it. Last thing is business networking. So one, obviously, the things that we offer at the gym and is a priority for us is being able to facilitate business networking through events, training, and any sort of like digital marketing or digital programming. So
that's also because, you know, that's a promise.
Yeah.
We're giving clients, we want to keep that promise.
It's something other gyms don't offer. It might happen by accident, like it has at Creature before, but if there's an opportunity to particularly focus, will this help with business networking in the future? The answer is yes, then we're going to invest in it or make the decision to do it. And that could be like, all right, are we going to invest too much money in a really nice lounge where someone can sit there and do business with someone in a quiet area of the gym? The answer is yes, if it facilitates more business networking. So that is the priorities that we're kind of running everything through, because as the budget starts to get tighter, as you get closer to opening date, it's hard. And, you know, do I spend this money here? Do I not spend it here? Do I hire this person? Do I not hire this person? Do I get this sign? Do I not get this sign? The answer lies in, is it going to serve any of these three priorities? And that's really what we care about. Any final things you want to add to budget? Because I know you're obviously the man with the numbers.
No, exactly what you said, right? I think with budgeting is that it gets harder and harder as the process goes on. That's something you're always going to have to work with, because obviously you get towards the end of a budget, you spend more and more of the money you have, and you've probably had more and more things potentially be more expensive than you thought.
Yeah.
Right? So you get to the end. So you have to start thinking about it, right? And then it's like saying for any gym, you got to have maybe a A plan, a B plan, and a C plan. That's what we've started to do now as well. Okay, maybe we've got a B plan here.
Yeah.
We're move this around, do this, or we're going to delay this, or fund it in a different way than we initially planned, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to have those A, B, and C plans. And I would always have that in your budgeting, definitely if you're starting, because whenever you're starting, I think there's much more unknown than when you're recurring.
Yeah.
Your gym's already got going. But even when you got going, it's always good to have a backup plan.
Yeah, always good. Always good. So that's really the update of Locker Room so far. Like I said, we're about 2 weeks away from opening, 2.5 weeks. We're hoping to close on the date, but you know, anything can happen between now and then. I'm not holding on too tightly, but yeah, we just do everything you can, everything within your power every single day, and that's all you can ask, right? That's all you can hope for. So that is the update at the moment on Locker Room. Remember the sponsors we mentioned at the start of the episode, please support them. They support our show. All the links to those sponsors are in the description of this episode. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into the first In The Black this year. More stuff to come. See you on the other side. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com. @theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.